If you say some words of wisdom to the whole thing about the coronavirus, just not getting caught up in the coronavirus stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I don't
It's
watch
heavily on
the news.
TV. What?
I'm not following that, so I'm totally unaware of it. I hear people talking about it, and but I'm not following what's going on with that, so I don't have
Well,
anything to
it's
say about it.
basically we just need to go back to being in awareness, but and doing the mantra. But I guess I figured maybe you might have some words of what you mean. You don't need to know about it to. It's
Yeah,
like
I mean,
anything we would choose to ignore on the outside.
well, like Maharaj says, take care of your body, but don't be concerned with it. If you get coronavirus, I mean, I can't speak about it. I don't watch the news, and everybody's talking about it, but I'm not, I don't even, it's like the flu, I guess, like bird flu was. Everybody thought, oh, bird flu would be the end of the world, and then nothing really happened, and now we have this coronavirus, which is, I don't know what's going on with it. So I can't really,
Okay.
I'm totally, more uninvolved than even uninvolved. I don't follow these things, they're not, yeah. I mean, I guess if you sit and you listen to the news all the time, but I would suggest not doing that, If it's going to bother and disturb your mind, I don't know why that would be of interest. From my own self, even working at Capitol Hill, oh, something happened here. Even working in Capitol Hill, I don't get involved in I don't know what's going on or anything. It's an illusory world. So whatever's happening is happening. Whatever's going to happen is happening. And there's nothing, you don't take so seriously. Because nowadays the whole idea of media and everything is to generate that buzz in you to keep you restless all the time, to keep you away from yourself. And but now you know better. So now you see these things coming on the news, or oh, this terrible thing is happening, or this or that. Oh, no, nothing's happening, everything's good. I mean, is coronavirus in your house right now? No. Okay, so what's, I don't know. And we have this all the time. It's kind of like the human condition is to constantly be worried about the end of the world and fear and, and it's just, it's not needed. I'll be worried about the coronavirus if for some reason I'm in the hospital and the doctor is above me and says, you have coronavirus and you're dying. I say, oh, okay, well, thank you very much.
And your illusory body is falling apart.
Okay, bye. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't mean
Okay.
to sound like I don't care, but there's just no, yeah. I mean, there's no mind flow of thoughts that says I am somebody else and all this bad stuff is happening. And I don't know how, I hear other people talking about it. Even some people won't shake hands now because they're like, oh, coronavirus. Okay, don't shake hands. Okay, that's fine. Do or don't, it doesn't make a difference.
Well, it might be a good idea not to shake hands if you're worried, if you're going to take care of the body, which is what Ramakant tells you to do.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know. Like, I really don't follow this thing, so I don't know how. A couple of years ago, bird flu. You saw people on the metro wearing masks all the time. And it was like, oh yeah, bird flu, it's spreading and it's going to kill all these people and it's killing all these old people and all this kind of stuff. But it really ever happened. So I don't know. And then they had the nuclear thing that happened, and supposedly the new radiation was going to go throughout all the world's water supply and kill so many X number of people and stuff. This is all just, you're understanding that this is news from the mind, for the mind, about the mind, and if you're not mine, then the news is not for you.
Mm-hmm. It's difficult these days with all the panic that's all around us, and it's you know, I don't know. It requires a lot of mantra, I guess.
I don't read the newspapers. I watch YouTube clips occasionally of things that might happen, but nothing really is on my feed about coronavirus, so I don't really listen to that. And I know the Congress, they sent out a thing at work, this long thing about coronavirus, which I didn't bother to read, really. I was like, okay, this and this. If they tell me that, you know, somebody said, oh, we might have to telecommute. Okay, well, then we'll telecommute. That would be very nice. And if we don't do that, then that's okay too. There's nothing is impressing. Nothing is, you know, there's no mind flow that can get you like agitated unless you pretend that you're somebody and something can happen to you. And then the mind will definitely be able to present all kinds of scenarios. And it's doing so through television because all these other people out there that you're seeing that are saying, oh, this is so terrible and da 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 da, it's because that's a mind that believes it's a body. And okay, if you believe you're a body, then this is going to be a tragic thing. If you know it's just a dream, in your dream tonight, you dream that Ebola is wiping out all the people. Okay, Ebola's wiping out all the people. You wake up and nothing actually happened. So it's the same. You know, there's not a, I just can't get involved. We talk about this kind of stuff all the time. First it was Donald Trump and all this kind of stuff was happening, and then war and Iran, and everybody was worried. Oh my God, it'll be nuclear war with Korea. That was just recent. Oh yeah, and the news was like, do you know that North Korea has all these nuclear weapons and they could bring an end to the world? Nothing happened. Okay, and then we have, you know, Iran. Oh, we killed some general and they're going to attack us and blah, blah. Okay, nothing happened. Okay. So, no, what? These things, they come and go. It's only when your mind disturbs you with them. It's yeah. Not, there's nothing happening. And there's no one to whom it can happen to. That's the ultimate reality. If I start believing my body in a world, then all sorts of things might be able to impress. Because I've dropped back into the body-based illusion, and I'm talking about things that aren't happening as if they are happening from a position of something that was nothing. There's no birth and death. There's no world. There's no time. There's no space. There's no coronavirus. There's no nothing. Like I said, coronavirus will affect you when the doctor says, Kathleen, you have coronavirus, you have 48 hours to live. And say, you know what? Coronavirus is now in my experience. I'm experiencing coronavirus. But if you're just hearing about it, you're experiencing it through like third and fourth and fifth person, and yet you're bothering your beingness and your peace about something that's not actually in your experience. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And these are the same kind of things when people went to Nisargadatta Maharaj and they talked about all the war and how horrible the war was, and he was like, is this happening for you right now?
Yeah,
like, you know, one tidal wave can wipe out thousands of people and you're worried about one or two. It doesn't make sense. Forms are created and destroyed continuously. You're not a form. When you know yourself as not being a form, then the forms that are being created and destroyed, you may witness this, but the seer is the truth. The seen is not. These are scenes appearing on spontaneous presence. When you know yourself as presence, then that's it. There's, okay, can coronavirus attack the space? No. No. Even Ebola, an airborne virus, can't attack the space. The space is not getting Ebola. Mm-hmm. you know, for me, you hear these things, and when people are talking about it, I just keep quiet. Just like everything else, people, you know, they talk about the stock market crashing and how they're not going to have any 401k, and then the next day they're talking about how their 401k has gone up by 30%. What's the point? It's a coming and going. It's a constant fluctuation. If you looked at the ocean and you said, well, there's a big tsunami, and then, okay, now it's very quiet. And these things are just happening. The five elemental world is in constant flux, in constant change. And this mind flow is happily interpreting what's going on based on the idea that you are somebody in a world and having experiences. But just remember, the illusion of experience is created through the concept, I am a body. Without a body, there's no experience. All the body-based knowledge, all the body-based relations, all the body-based experiences are untrue because you are not a body. Do you even have people in your building or in your neighborhood who are contracting coronavirus?
Well, that's a difficult thing because a lot of people have it. They don't know they have it.
Oh my God. So that's even more worry type thing of, I don't know I have it or I have it. I'm sorry. I can't really, you know, if you play in the world, the world is going to be, you know, a scary place, I guess. If you play in the sandbox, you're going to get sandy.
Well, the problem is it doesn't seem we can help it because we're here. The body is here to be dealt with.
So do the best you can and forget about it. You know? Or live like a hermit. Totally, completely. You know what's very funny? All the people in 1999, they showed on TV all these people who had gone out and bought these huge farms and had spent like their whole life savings to have these underground bunkers built and all this silly nonsense, because when the year 2000 came, it was supposed to be the death of society. Yeah, well, guess what? When it became year 2000, these dum-dums had wasted their entire life savings and dug a huge pit for no reason whatsoever. And yet, if you would have interviewed in 1998, 1999, people would have said, like, man, these people, you know, if it ends, they're ready. Ready for what? You can't be ready for the time you leave the body. The body can be leaving anytime. It's five elemental world. You could walk outside tonight and get hit by a car. You could walk into your local highs and be blown away by some drug-crazed guy trying to rob somebody. But if you worry about things, then you're not living. So you might as well be dead because you're not actually living. Right. You're worried about living. Yeah. Very silly.
My husband's second cousin bought a farm in Arkansas for the 2000 and bought reams and reams and reams of toilet paper.
I mean, you think about the history shows you that all these things, they come and go. And if you're still there to witness, fine. And if you're not, you won't know.
Yeah.
But why let the mind bother you? You know?
You sometimes talk about scenes passing, and I was reading in I Am That today that it was a remark about when you have a dream and you wake up from it, there's the continuity of the dream is gone, and there's no real continuity. Like, you don't pick up a dream, usually don't pick up a dream when you fall back asleep, the same dream. And is there really continuity in our experience? Although in our waking experience, it seems like there's continuity, but because everything is really changing or potentially changing or whatever, there's no real continuity there either, in a sense, I would think.
Well, I mean, there's a continuity as fact of the world, because you haven't woken up from the long dream yet. You wake up from the little dreams every night, but you haven't woken up from the long dream yet. You still believe yourself to be a body in a world. And even when you know you're not a body in a world, this will still be seen. Like, you can't just, okay, I know I'm not a body in a world, but yet I have a body in a world. So this body and world are in myself, and I understand this. I understand I'm not body. And the mind flow has stopped to impressing these thoughts because I don't buy them anymore. But yet there's a table and all that, because you haven't woken up from the long dream yet. The long dream is this body. Once this body can no longer sustain your presence, you won't have the illusion of experience. You're only having the illusion of experience because of this body.
So the continuity is sort of an illusion, right?
Well, the whole, nothing is true.
Yeah.
As far as when you see, you're seeing, like tomorrow, you'll wake up, and if you have a job, you probably have a job every single day until you either get fired or retire. So that's a continuity, but that's the continuity of the body-based experience, the body-based reality. The formless holder of the body is not experiencing, but these experiences are occurring due to the fact that the body has appeared. Like Maharaj says, spirit clicks with the body and you say I. And until the spirit is no longer, the body is no longer able to sustain the spirit in the illusion of experience, then you will experience. But once this body can no longer sustain the presence for, this kind of illusory conceptual duality, then you all have woken from the long dream. The best that you can do is know yourself in a real sense, formlessly, using this body form as an instrument only, and not really having any attachment to it or anything that came along with it, like mind, ego, intellect, or body-based relations, or body-based knowledge. But this experiencing is going to continue until this body can no longer sustain that.
And then there's nothing.
Well, it's not that there's nothing. There's everything.
There's no consciousness. There's everything, but not consciously.
There's nothing to cognize or be conscious of. There's no instrument that you would use to know yourself. Mm-hmm. There's nothing other than yourself to know. So there's not an ability to know, but there's a potentiality of knowingness, just with nothing to know, no faculty of knowing, and nothing other to be known, and no instrument of knowing. And again, then you start to worry from this perspective of, oh, then there won't be any of this. But there isn't any of this now.
Anyway.
That's the main thing. You're not changing. You're not the body that you believed mm-hmm. yourself to be. So whether the body's here mm-hmm. or not, you are. Mm-hmm. Because prior mm-hmm. to knowing yourself, then mm-hmm. you know this sense of existence. But if you weren't there for this sense of existence to be known, then you had to be there. Something had to be there for this existence mm-hmm. to appear.
Yeah.
But all of this that's known is illusion. It's created through this spontaneous I exist, and this conscious, just like, again, in the nighttime, you fall asleep, and there's just this mixture, a little bit, of I exist, and boom, this dream consciousness is created with a you in it, and the world, the sun, the moon, the rivers, the people, all of this is occurring. But, and you are seeing it formlessly, because you're not the form that's in the dream scene. So when the dream is over, it's over. That's it. Boom. Nothing. But it's all the little dream characters we talked about before. If just before you woke up, or even they know, your character is the one that's the source of all this dream, and they come to you and say, don't wake up. Stay sleeping. We love our life. But you don't exist. And I don't exist in this form. And eventually when I wake up, I won't have this form, and neither will you, and you won't have been, and I won't have been. There's just the source of the dream. And there had to be a dreamer for there to be a dream that appears, and a seer to see what's going on inside the dream. But when there's no dream, the seer is not seeing a dream. And when there's no consciousness, then there's no create. Everything that we know, everything that's experienced, all the things, everything, is within the bubble of illusion, the bubble of consciousness. And that consciousness has appeared due to the feeling I exist. And it's same time. It's not which came first, chicken or egg. Boom, chicken and egg. Identification with the chicken, most likely, because the egg is, now you're going to identify as the, you'd have to know. So most likely, boom, chicken and egg, you identify with chicken because there's a body form which you can know yourself through. So you think, I'm a chicken, and I came first.
Yeah. From the chicken's point of view.
Yes.
Which is not the real point of view.
No, both objects appeared spontaneously in the consciousness, and one you were able to identify with and say, oh, I exist. I exist as this chicken. I'm this chicken. And look, here's an egg. But I know myself as this chicken prior to knowing this egg. The subject-object duality, when in reality, boom, subject, and then objects appear within the subject, and the subjectiveness is now, oh, I identify with this chicken, because this chicken can sustain the essence, and the presence can actually start to see and have a faculty of knowing through the position of being a chicken, seeing this egg. But both came spontaneously with the sensation I exist.
Maybe that's what happened with Ramana Maharshi's cow. Lakshmi the cow apparently was awakened.
Well, again, that's because from the true point of view, everything is awakened. Because there's no one awakening, and it's all illusion.
Yeah.
So you could say that your cat is awake, because truly your cat is awake. As are you. You're just pretending not to be. Because you, the you that you actually are, is absolutely, nothing's changed. Nothing's been added and nothing's been subtracted. It's only the illusory character that you identified with. Oh, I exist as this Kathleen in a world. But this sense of existence was known first through this body form that you believed yourself to be. Now you know you knew your existence through body form, but you're not the body form. So now you can know, oh, I'm just the formlessness, which for a time believed I was Kathleen. And everything that I saw Kathleen doing, I thought I was doing, but in reality, I am not a doer because I'm formless. So this little lump of goo called Kathleen that I believe myself to be went about and had a life, but I had nothing to do with it.
The game, this is playing a game.
Yeah, but even, not even, I mean, you can say it's like the play or the Leela or whatever, but in truth, there's, that's why Nisargadatta Maharaj says, you think God knows you? God doesn't even know itself or yourself, so to speak. There's no knowingness. There's a...
Well, how do you know that from what I, a teaching I understand is that the only thing that it knows is itself, because everything is itself. So it does know itself only. It doesn't know the ignorance. It doesn't know the illusion. It just knows itself. But there's a knowingness that doesn't involve objects. It's a, like a self-effulgence or something like that, you know, where there's a, there's a knowledge or an awareness, I guess.
Well, knowledge is presence.
Yeah.
And then there's a knowing of this presence, but the presence can only be known through the body. But there's nothing, there's no self-knowing until there's something to know, a faculty, an instrument of knowledge, an instrument of knowing. The knowingness doesn't know itself. However, it is the potentiality for knowing, but there has to be something to be known.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure that there needs to be an object. I think that it can know itself, because that's all there is.
Through the body form, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, in this body form, you can sense presence. And the presence is in every being. And you know this presence. And the only way to know this presence, or to feel this presence, is to use something else as kind of a conduit, or the media, to know yourself. But without this media, there's no knowing, because there's nothing other to know. There's no, you can't know yourself, because, yeah, no.
Well, not as an object. I don't know. There's some differences there, I think, because the self knows it only itself. That's what I've read. But it's not knowledge in the normal sense, because what we think of a knowledge is subject and object, but that might not be the only kind of knowledge there is.
Well, supposedly there's being.
Yeah, being.
Being itself, being itself.
Being is presence felt through the body form. That's being and no being. There's a no being state that beingness has appeared to, or the I am appeared. The I am, the sense of presence, but that is only known through the body. Body is an instrument to know yourself. Without the body, without some form, you are not knowing yourself.
But then the Bible, it says, I am that I am. You know, so there's that means...
Through a body form.
Through a body form. Because the I am that I am wasn't a body that said that.
Well, no. Well, of course, yes. It's not like, no. That is, and that's just like Jesus goes out into the wilderness and all this. It's mind that is saying this. All these people who heard the voice of God and did all these sort of things, this is a mind, because this is the illusion of duality. There's, you know, Moses didn't know that he is that. So I am that I am, is that, that's a body-based experience. Without body, you're not having this experience, I am that I am. You're not having any of this.
Yeah, but I don't think Moses could have made that up.
No, but this is what came through. It's not like the sky suddenly opened up and said, I am that I am.
There was a burning bush.
Yeah.
And Moses said, God, what is your name? And he heard from the ethers, I am that I am. But that
there's this thought flow.
That's just thought, yeah.
Yes.
I think when you dream, there's nothing there. Excuse me, when you sleep, there's nothing there. So you exist, but you don't know it until you start dreaming or wake up.
And that's the sense I exist mixed with and creating the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm saying all of this is body-based. It's not a... Nothing. There's nothing. Like, nothing.
Well, if you die and you still are identified with the body, then what happens?
Again, you're not dying. You're not...
Your body dies. Your body dies, but there's still identification.
It's not your body. It's not your body.
Well, the thought forms have created the thinking of a separate self.
Because again, just like we talked about, chicken and egg come spontaneously. The sense of existence can be known through the form of a chicken. Therefore, I exist as this chicken. But if no chicken, no egg, then nothing. There's no, these are forms that are created and destroyed constantly inside the consciousness. The consciousness is like, you know you exist and it's dream. It's dream world, and you're an object inside the dream that you're seeing and you're perceiving through. And that's where you are not body, you are not body, you're not going to remain the body. So think about this very deeply. All body-based experiences are illusion. All body-based knowledge is illusion. All body-based relations are illusion, because you are not a body.
But you're saying that you are not anything at all.
This you can't say what you are. You know you are only through this illusion of duality and the concept I am somebody or I am this body having experiences and living a life. But you can't say like this.
There's one thing through all these conversations that I can't quite grasp is why even talk about a you or a me or a you that I supposedly am if it doesn't exist.
Exactly. Prior to beingness. Prior to beingness, you didn't know yourself. After leaving the body, you're not going to know yourself.
So why call it a you or a me if it doesn't exist?
Conversation. Because we're in this body-based illusion, we have to use a conversation. Otherwise, you can just keep quiet and be with yourself. But if you have questions about the illusion, you have to use conversation and words. You're prior to words. So, but as you're using this body form in this illusory world, you have a conversation using nouns and pronouns and description stuff. But remember, all words came along with the body. Prior to clicking with a body, you didn't use any words. You didn't know any words. You're prior to the first word. You're prior to the first thought. So all these thoughts, all these words appeared to you. See, we're really, everything that's being said right now, it's like, it's trying to impress illusion as something, but illusion is just that, it's nothing. Mm-hmm. None of this has happened. Nothing's happened. Nothing ever will happen. The body-based experience is absolutely illusion. The illusion of experience created through this I am somebody is wrong. It's false. And it's not true. When you know yourself in a real sense, all questions dissolve, because this formless presence that you are can't be doing all this stuff. How? Like, it won't make sense. And then you don't worry about whether you're leaving the body or not leaving the body, because you're not the body. See, if I truly believe that John is having this enlightenment, this spiritual experience of knowing myself, there is no myself to know. The I is absolutely illusion. The I is a concept that came along with the body, which you are not.
I do seem to be getting closer gradually to a sense of seeing the reality that everything is selfless, that there is no self and it is a liberating feeling. That's when I start feeling the bliss, is when I guess when I notice that there really is no, that nothing has any self-existence. And then sometimes I get a sense of that there's an invisible presence that it seems to be there only because it's contrasted with my experience. but it's not really, it is just like invisible. It's not anything, but it's because everything that I think is something isn't anything. And then somehow it seems to be an invisible presence just through contrast to what I normally think is something. I don't know if...
Presence is the background of every experience. After the experience has subsided, you're back in presence. Presence is just like the wave in the ocean. Wave comes up, wave goes down. Presence is the background of every experience. All experiences are appearing on presence. As your attention is going out to the experience, you won't feel the presence as much. And when you stop going out to the experience, you just remain with presence and allow experiences to appear and disappear on the background that you are.
So that you, what you're calling the background of what I am is this invisible presence.
The invisible, anonymous, unidentified identity, like Maharaj says, yes.
I certainly don't know what it is, but it's...
Well, I call it presence because you can feel it. Yeah. You know, and I guess, according to what I've heard from, not everybody feels your presence. So you have to, like, really get rid of these layers of illusion that are distracting you from the reality. This presence is here. And like Nisargadatta Maharaj says, remain with the I am. Remain with the sense of presence. Consciousness, looking at consciousness. Using consciousness. You know, remain with that I am. And all questions dissolve. All questions dissolve. This I am opens up the door and you see, oh, so that I. You don't then go into the mind situation of trying to label what I is or what that is or this that is that. Oh, it has to be this and that. No, there's no this and that. There's the only mind wants to do this. Basically like grappling hooks, holding on to the illusion to make it look like reality using your attention.
And you're comfortable with everything at that point.
It's not even a matter of comfortable with everything. You're not here. Mm-hmm. You're just...
But I mean, it's
like two eyes. The experience can be given as there's two eyes and they're seeing. And there's no cognition of the seeing, unless, of course, they say, oh, okay, I would like some water. Let's have some water, and this is that. But there's no pressure in being a body. There's no pressure in even speaking and listening. Speaking to someone, there's no concept that we're two separate things there, because there's not a thing here. And, of course, okay, yes, body. This is body. Body is here. But there's nothing pressuring. There's no illusory thought flow that's pressuring. I am a body. I'm this body. I'm worried about this body. I have to, you know, no, it's not. It's just space in space.
That's the selflessness, right?
Yeah. Things appearing and disappearing before your own selfless self. And everything that appears is absolutely illusion. And we talked about the mirage. See, body is coughing. But we talked about the mirage. All the deer, they're going and they're seeing the lake out there and they want to go. And before they go to the lake to stick their nose in the sand, they're talking about how the lake is and all so nice and just imagining. And until you sit quietly with yourself and see what's there, the just I feeling, and observe the things that come and go on top of this just I feeling, but only remain with this just I, this sense of presence, knowing that everything appears on presence, so we can allow that to go by, remain with the sense of presence, then the illusory world loses everything. There's no you in it. The only way you desire other objects is when you believe yourself to be an object.
It's just the impersonal functioning of consciousness, period.
I'm sorry?
It's simply the impersonal functioning of consciousness.
Yeah, everything.
Myself included.
It's just, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Everything so it's like being way up here, kind of like seeing it, I guess, above it or below it or whatever, whatever angle you want to take, but it's not being in it, just seeing it.
Yeah, it would be literally as if the space right here had two eyes and was looking and seeing. And something came and said, hello, how are you? Oh, I'm good. And you're hearing the speaking and listening, but you're not identified as a speaker or a listener. There's no, you're just freely free. I think Maharaj says, like a free bird, you can fly like a bird. You're there's no more body pressure. And this is where mantra helps a lot. Mantra, because all the wrong files, like Maharaj says, are from the perspective of, here's someone, there's something. All of these things create memory. I experienced this thing. But now the mind automatically presents thoughts from the point of view of memory, and then there's desire and fear. I used this thing. I want to do that thing again, but you're not a thing. So once you know yourself in a real sense, desire and fear melts away. There's no longer this wrong perceiving of I'm someone trying to get something. You want to see this. That's why Maharaj rightly says, remove the body and then speak with me.
Can you explain why the connection with love somehow it makes it possible to love everything when you see that you're selfless?
See, this is another thing, this whole love thing. Love is just, the most love you can have is the oneness. So that you're not separating yourself from anything else. You're not believing other people are out there or that you're somehow, I think Nisargadatta Maharaj says something about you can't love anyone because you're afraid of them. Once you know yourself, then there won't be this fear. There's not a, love is an emotion that is body-based. You didn't know about love until you came into this body-based delusion. See, we keep thinking, we keep like, we start to come out and we say, okay, I understand I'm not body and none of this is true. And then we try to plant flags in the false and try to make it true. We really want to make the false true. And this, of course, is because you've experienced that you exist for the first time and you want this existence to continue. But the existence is not true in the form that you're currently experiencing yourself as existing. So you can't continue this. The egoistic I wants to continue forever and perpetuates all this nonsense to try and continue. But you cannot continue because you are not. And we keep desperately trying to grasp something, and there's no grasping.
But I get confused sometimes because, like, Nisargadatta will say something like it all comes from love, or love is the foundation, or something about love being love, and also he talks about absolute. And, you know, what if the absolute is the absolute an experience or is it a reality?
The love to be, the love to exist. That's what we just talked about, and Ramakant Maharaj uses the example of the ants. You pour water and the ants run. Why? Because they love to be. They love to exist. You, the selfless self, are enjoying your existence in the form of an ant because for the first time ever, you felt you exist in that form. You feel that when that form goes away, you'll no longer exist. That's not true, but you fall in love with yourself. And the love is just the love to be. One of the main things that you need to detach from is this love to be because you are not. Yes, you exist, but in the creation of the form that you believe yourself to exist as, whether that form is there or not, you are. but you have fear that when this form goes, your existence goes as well. You will not sense your existence, but you still will very much exist. And that's what these are saying. And also remember, Nisargadatta Maharaj, Ramaka Maharaj has also said, what I'm saying in this time through you. That's why the books, they're nice because you could feel the presence. Main reason that the books are there is because presence will recognize presence, the recognition and the projection. The words really don't matter. When you're reading the book, it should be that recognition and the projection. You might call it, you know, a sensation of peace or something like this, but the books are there for the recognition and the projection, the very powerful pull. Like Ramakant Maharaj says, oh, it's my story. That recognition and the projection. It's not so much for the words, because the words can be all kinds of different things. One minute he's saying one thing, and one minute he's saying the other. And then the mind that wants to judge is saying, oh, well, this contradicts with something that this master said or that master. No, the conveyance, that's the most important thing. The recognition and the projection that this is, I feel this, that is inviting the attention of the invisible reader, the invisible listener. Oh, so that I am that. That's all it's really wanting to do. That's why all the various religions, when they go and they read their books and all of this, and they try to take meaning, it's not for taking meaning. It's taking that spiritual recognition. Same with the stories. All the very nice stories that Maharaj tells. They're not so you can pick the stories and get to the pieces. That's why you'll notice when he tells the story of Eklava, he sometimes says the name of Dronacharya or whatever, and sometimes he does not. Sometimes he says that, and even in Selfless Self, it doesn't say that Dronacharya was sponsor Eklava due to the fact that Arjuna is like a royalty and Eklava's not. So the story doesn't matter. It's the principle behind the story. And the principle behind the story is that except your selfless self, nothing is there. So then you sit with yourself quietly in meditation, using mantra, in your daily experience, and you remain with a sense of presence. Presence opens up the door. Then you won't ask about how you'll be when you leave the body. Will there be a sense of knowing or anything like this? Because the leaving the body part is finished. It's a concept. A whole body-based experience in the illusion of duality, it's not. This experience now, holding this body, you can know yourself in a real sense.
Knowing yourself in a real sense is knowing yourself as selfless, I guess.
Sense of presence, for me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, and when I was with Maharaj and we were talking about this, I said, so all of this is occurring in this and this I am. And that subtle presence. And plus with Maharaj, you could really feel the recognition and the projection was so strong. It was like when you put a magnifying glass on an ant from the sun, it was just in your face. You could feel that presence, the presence. Now, of course, maybe, because according to, different devotees, maybe that's not the case in their experience. But if you're open to this, if you know that Maharaj is this presence in the body form that absolutely knows it's not a body, that wants the presence that is the same self in you to say, please, 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 you're not a body, you were not a body, you're not going to remain the body. Remove the body and then speak with me. Let's be one. Because we are one, but we're pretending not to be one because you think that you're a body. And because you believe you're a body, you're looking at me and thinking I'm a body. And you're supposedly labeled disciple, and I'm supposedly labeled guru. But there's no master, no disciple, nothing. That's what Maharaj says over and over and over. How you'll be after leaving the body, you don't know. How you were before taking the body, you don't know. But knock, knock on the door. Somebody's there to say nobody's there.
Mm-hmm.
and remember that every day. Question: is a doubt about your formlessness and your formless. That's why Das Boot is beautiful, because they'll come to the master and they'll say, this is my doubt. This is my doubt. This is my doubt. And then the master says, okay, we're going to remove all these doubts one by one. And at the end, he says, okay, now the doubts have been removed. We've removed these doubts. But you see, the doubts were illusory, and the removal of those doubts was illusory. But now you've declared, we've removed those doubts. Because every doubt, every question is just a doubt about your formlessness. That's why Ramana Maharshi's very famous thing is, don't remove the doubts, remove the doubter. And that's basically saying every doubt, you're doubting your formlessness. So know yourself in a real sense, the doubt is removed. Ramana Maharshi says, don't keep removing the doubts, remove the doubter.
The I thought, right? Just turn it inward. When the I thought and mind are absorbed in the self, then that's it.
Yes. And then don't label that nirva kalpa samadhi or something. That's then the next thing. Oh, now I'm experiencing nirva kalpa samadhi. Oh,
then you gotta start all over.
Exactly. Yeah. That's
isn't that a contradiction in terms? How you dare to experience Nuvagata Samadhi?
Exactly. And that's why Maharaj says, don't fall back in the illusory ditch. When this just die, thoughts come in, just remain with presence. Things are happening, everything, okay, just remain with presence. And don't sit there and then think about how.
We lose him?
It's something.
Yeah, we lost him.
Recording cut off. Oh, there we go. Oh, sorry, yeah. I'm on my phone, so I can't really.
Oh. Yeah. Well, you're coming in very clear. The phone is working pretty well.
Yeah, the phone is working great.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, we got Andrew back too. His video is working out.
Yeah, it came back.
Yeah, I saw. But yeah.
Yeah, strange. I don't know what's going on with my computer. It's a very old computer. It's just.
Well, unless anybody else has any, it's 8:17.
Oh, okay. Good.
Okay.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Okay, Sheila. Thanks.